Right, can we pray? I'll pray. Yes, Lord, you are awesome in this place, Lord. That's all that I can say. You are present here. Your joy is here, Lord. Your prophecy, your prophetic word is here. Your spirit is here. Your love is here. And Lord, thank you that you'd make it so easy for us, Lord, when you call, that you equip, and that you made it easy for me, even, Lord, to be standing here this morning. And I just ask, Lord, that you will just bless this word and just take our minds and thoughts captive over the next few minutes. And Lord, we just pray for a harvest in our lives of something new. Lord, the beginning of this year, you said you're doing something new. And we trust you that what's going to be said here this morning, Lord, will be part of the new. In Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, you know, what I've just said is, this is my message. This is the day. And this morning, very early, on a WhatsApp, the Lord confirmed the message as I was going down on my knees to pray about this morning. And I said, yes, Lord, thank you. I needed that. It's such an encouragement. You know, the beginning of each year, I don't make any New Year resolutions anymore because I never keep them. I'm very honest. But what I do, I ask for a revelation from God. And God is so faithful. He has given me that now for a few years. He actually gave Retief and myself on two occasions now exactly the same word for the new year. But this, I don't know where it comes from. I didn't hear the Lord's voice audibly, but in my spirit, I wrote it down in my, as I was journaling, the Lord told me and said, I must come and say here today, this is the day. Okay, can we have the verse? This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Few things in this scripture. Who made the day? God. For whom? For us. What is the purpose of this day? That we can have joy. God wants us to have joy. And that is, in italics, I didn't put it in. It's like that in the scripture. This is the day. It's almost as God wants to say, emphasize it. Now, I want to tell you a little story, which is not going to put me in a good light, but just to show you that I am not as perfect as you thought after the thief spoke. One morning, I took my car in for a service in Cape Town. By the grace of God, the garage is now in Coral Road, but that time it was done in Cape Town. And the manager said, who needed a lift home? And of course, I needed a lift home. And four of us guys got into the car with the driver. And I was sitting at the back. And I think I just wanted to be nice, you know. And I said, it was a Monday. I said, yes, this is a blue Monday. Just look all this traffic, you know. And the guy just looked at me in the mirror. He didn't say a thing. But I thought he was a Muslim because he had the appearance of a Muslim. And, you know, he was so kind to me. He waited till everybody was unloaded and only the two of us were left. And he looked at me and he said, I want to give you a scripture this morning. And he mentioned Psalm 118:24. And I said, you know, I know what you're going to tell me. I know what the scripture is. And he said, never again say, it's a blue Monday. Yes, I said, God, thank you for that. But I'll never do that again. I'll never say again it's a blue Monday because for a child of God, there is no such thing as a blue Monday because the Word of God says, can you believe it that that man corrected me? And I'm standing here this morning giving this message because of what he had the whatever you call it, to correct me, the boldness to correct me and to tell me off, if you want to put it that way. Okay. So the next, please. You know, Jesus said, in Matthew 6, verse 34, we must live one day at a time. This is the Living Bible. It says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow too. Live one day at a time. Have you ever thought of it, how gracious God is, that he divided time into manageable portions? Can you imagine being born and have 70 years before you of a day, never ending? I mean, who would have survived that? That is why God created this moon and the sun, because he had us in mind. You know, this world was created for us, for nobody else but us. And I tell you today, there's no other people in the universe ever, anywhere. We are unique. Take it from me today. I'll be right one day, you'll see. It's only us. God made this earth for us. He loves it. He even sent His Son to die for us. So how important are we to Him? And you know, another translation says, New King James says, sufficient is the day for its own trouble. So God actually promised us, and He says, there won't be a day without trouble, but take one day at a time. Next. You know, for me, the best example of that in the Old Testament is a manna. Now, I'm sorry if I repeat, Retief has often spoken on the manna. But you know what was the amazing thing about the manna? And I'm not telling you a new thing. I'm just reminding us all. You could not collect manna for tomorrow. Did you know that? What happened to people who didn't listen to Moses and collected manna for the next day? There were worms in it. They couldn't eat it. It was moldy and full of worms. So manna is for one day only. And the other amazing thing is that some people, the Bible says, collected a little and others collected more, but each had enough. And you know, for me, that's a type of the coming grace of God through Jesus. Because we are, give that scripture later, God said, my grace is enough for you. So for every situation we may ever be in, God's grace will be sufficient if we collect that manna. Not for tomorrow. You can't collect it. So, yes, so I think the message is very clear. Manna, the Lord wanted to teach us something through the manna for His people. And now what I want to say now is not in the Bible written as such, but I think when I mention it to you, you will relate with me. Why did Jesus say, live one day at a time? He would not have said it if it was not possible to live more than one day at a time. You agree? If it was possible to live in tomorrow, it is possible. It's also possible to live in the past. You know what the danger of that is? You miss the present. And this has been confirmed here this year a few times, through Etna, through Retief, even this morning, even through some of the songs we sang. God is interested in the now. Because if you're not living in the now is that possible? Because we're all sitting here, we're present. Our bodies are present. But you know, our minds have no limitations. Our minds don't have to be here, even though we are here physically. Our minds can be 30 years ago in the past, or in tomorrow, or 10 years in the future. So what I'm telling you today, my real message is that God desires us to live not only today, but in the now. And I'm going to give you some scripture for that. So it's not, I didn't suck it, you know, out of my own thumb. What is the danger if you don't live in the now? You miss out on the beauty around you. You miss out on the wonderful life that God has given us. You miss the person's pain in his heart in front of you. You listen to his words, but because your mind isn't there, what he's saying, you don't see his heart. And you know what is the most serious thing? You miss the voice of God. I'm going to leave that with you. So God wants us to live in the now. So where does the past come in? The past come in, I've already spoken on that one morning here. There's two things that the Bible is very clear about the past. There's certain things we must forget, and there's certain things we must remember. You know, what must we forget? We all had losses. We all had failures. We all sinned. We all made wrong choices. That's the past. But you know what? The grace of God has covered that. And this song we sang this morning, I actually looked up the scripture, Johan, when you said our sins are nailed to the cross. It's in 2 Colossians, where it says, die skuldbrief is vasgenaal aan die kruis. But you know what the enemy does? He comes and brings us photocopies. The original is gone. It's not existing anymore. God says, He forgets. Did you know God can forget? The Bible says, I forget your sins. And we don't want to. We want to remember them. So I'm just telling you this morning, there are certain things in the past which we all want to forget and must forget, and especially if the Lord has covered it with His blood, We don't have to live with that anymore. But there's certain things we must remember. The Bible says in Psalm 143, verse 5, remember the glorious miracles you did in days of long ago. You know, we all must remember the grace of God in the past, the promises that were fulfilled, the amazing things that God has done for us. I mean, I am, when you spoke about us this morning, you know why I am what I am today? Because of my past, my forgiven past, but also what God has done in my life. And then Paul says in Philippians 3, verse 13, brethren, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. So there are things which all of us must forget because God has forgotten it. But what about the future? I want to stand on three things about the future. As we're sitting here now, and I trust it's not the case, but we may not be here. We may be at the, let's say, altijd die, boot wat daar nie oont is, het ek die oont afgesit of nie, you know, that type of thing. Imaginations of the mind. We have very powerful minds to imagine things. I will be happy one day when I've ticked all the boxes. When I'm thinner, when I have more money, when my children are grown up, when I've got my degree, when I've got this and that. You know, that's a lie. God didn't make us to be happy in the future. He made us to be happy today with what we have. And I'm going to give you some tools to practice that in the end. I'm going to tell you today, none of you are going to be the same ever again. No, honestly, I trust that because this, understanding this has changed my life completely. But what is also in the future? There's fears in the future. What about this country? Mustn't we immigrate, you know? What about the government? What about Eskom? What about the... And so we are not here. And we have all this beauty around us. You've got your children around you, your family. You've got good health. You've got the beauty of nature around you. And you miss out because you're not here. You're somewhere in the future. And I'm the best example of that. This is, again, at the cost of myself. My mother-in-law loves telling us about books that she's written. When she's halfway through the story, my children see, they can see it in my eyes. My eyes go like that. I'm in Stanford in my garden. And then she makes a, she says something like, and then the guy lost his legs, you know, was in a wheel. I said, oh, my, that's amazing. And she said, Johan, you're not here. You're not listening to what I'm saying. But you know what I'm telling you? This is a thing to practice. Even as you're sitting here now, that you will be connected to what I'm saying. And I think Retief has once said the most profound, must be the most profound thing I've ever said to Retief, because he's never quoted anything else that I've said. But one morning in prayer meeting, I said, this day, this Sunday, is not going to be like any before. Do you realize how privileged we are to be here this morning? You'll never see me here before again giving this message, I hope. You will never be sitting exactly where you are now with the same people next to you. You will never hear God's voice exactly the same as you heard it this morning in the worship. This worship was so special, Johan. I must tell you, it was God. You know what I'm telling you? But you can miss it all out by thinking of what you did yesterday or planning what you're going to do tomorrow, and you're not here. You're missing out on what the beauty of what God is doing this very moment. I'm going to say something now which I'm on thin ice, but I'm going to say it. You know what's the danger of prophecy? Now, I am the first one. I love prophecy. The danger is that God's timing is not our timing. And when God gives you a prophetic message, and I was in that trap, you may miss the present waiting on that prophetic moment. Anybody that agrees, put up your hand. if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, the next. This is not in the Bible, but I think it's beautiful. The past is history. The future is a mystery. But the present is called the present, because it's a present from God. What did some next one? What did some? What did Jesus say about the now? What I'm going to say now is also profound. I think it's a revelation from God. But Jesus said, this is, by the way, the first sermon that Jesus ever gave, when he said these words. He said in Mark 1:15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in God." You know what at hand means? It's here. Did you know the kingdom of God is not a future promise? It's a present reality. The heaven is a future promise. But the kingdom of God is here right now. Here where I'm standing, where you're sitting, the presence of God. And you know, the most present person ever in Scripture was Jesus. When he was with people, when there was a storm, nature, when he saw somebody suffering, even that blind man Bartimaeus was shouting and everybody ignored him, Jesus saw, he heard, and his heart was in the present. Right, next. Paul said these beautiful words, and this is actually the word that Bronwyn brought us this morning. Thank you, Bronwyn. He says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, "In an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you." And then this, behold, when is the accepted time? Now. Now is the day of salvation. Did you know that what we think now, do now, and is today will determine our future? Not mind tripping. Not going on trips of imaginations. But realize that the now determines our future. And everything I am today was because of a now moment. That day when I heard Jesus' voice to give my heart, the day when he said you must be baptized, the day when I was filled with his Spirit, the day when he answered prayers, that day is my future, the now. Right. What did some famous people say about this? Angus Buchan. Yeah, I was so blessed when Greta sent me this message about we spoke about it this morning, but there's a request that we must all pray on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. And in the message, it says, it's time. This is our time. Also for this coming convention in Cape Town, the 24th of, I think, March, the name of it is It's Time. Corrie ten Boom, the Dutch lady, was in the Nazi concentration camps for years, or a very long time. She said, a train ticket is only valid for the day it's bought for, not for another day. And then I love this, Mother Teresa. She said, each moment is all we need, not more. You know, I'm going to add something to Mother Teresa. This moment is all we have. We're not sure about the next moment. We're not sure about tomorrow. But this is what we have. Right. So, how do we learn to practice this? And I just asked the Lord to show me a few things that I myself have practiced and which may help you. And the first one is to learn to practice the presence of God. You know, I spoke about manna. Did you know that our current manna is not bread from heaven? It is the bread, the Word of God. And if you miss out on the Word of God in one single day, you didn't have manna. And the wonderful thing is, it says there in Exodus, some people collected a lot and some collected little. You know, we had our grandchildren around us. I don't know why I'm saying this now, but I must say, this again, a confession. I'm very, very, organized with my quiet times. And suddenly I had so much sympathy for these young people around in this church. Because some days passed that I didn't have time to have a proper quiet time. And you know why? The children are delivered to our bedroom 6 o'clock in the morning, they all sit in the bed, they want to talk to you and jump on you and hear stories. But the amazing thing is, it doesn't say how much manna you must collect for that day. Then somebody sends you a verse on your WhatsApp. I've got a guy who sends me verses every day. Say, Lord, thank you, but that's going to be my manna for today. That's all I'm going to have. But when I really have the time, I do to do it properly and to eat the portion for that day. And the second thing is to learn to practice the presence of God. Now, I've said it before here, and I'm going to say it again today. You know, Andrew Murray is one of my heroes. By the way, he's a hero of many, many people. He had a major influence on many people. Even Catherine Kuhlman, when she died, they went into a study, and half of the books were from Andrew Murray. But Andrew Murray was one day crossing the street in Cape Town, Adderley Street, with a friend. Now, I'm sure it wasn't today. He wouldn't survive if it was today. But those days, there were still not so many cars. He stopped in the middle of the road, and his friend said, "Why are you stopping, Andrew?" He said, "I just lost contact with God for a moment." So learning to practice the presence of God. That is what we are called to do. The kingdom of God is here, with us, in us. Next, I've already spoken on this. To learn to be present and to give our undivided, full, focused attention to the moment. Whether you are with people, sometimes just nature around you. You know, we live in one of the most beautiful places in the world. And just open your eyes. Say, well, just ask God to open our eyes and to see the beauty around us. To see the person in front of you talking to you and to hear fully focused what that person is trying to tell you. You know, it says in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. I like that, heartily, with your whole heart. Don't do anything half-heartedly. Give your everything to the moment where you're in. And this is, again, a short personal testimony, and this is what changed my life. I had a very busy life, and I had clinics, consultant clinics twice a week. And, you know, I came to a point where I realized I was totally exhausted at the end of each clinic, and I had no joy. And then I sat down, actually somebody gave me this little book to read, Living in the Present, and I realized what mistake I was making. While the patient was sitting in front of me, I was clever enough to solve his problem with my lots of built-up knowledge through the years. But you know why I didn't enjoy it and why I was so tired? I was thinking of the next patient who was sitting there and who is now oohing and aahing because I'm so long and he hasn't seen me yet. I was thinking of the lecture I had to give at 12. I was thinking of many other things. I was not thinking of that. And you know what? Then the Lord said to me, from now on, you are going to focus on what you are busy with. That patient in front of you is everything. And it changed my life. Can something as simple as that change your life? But it did change my life because I got my joy back. And sometimes people, I could see they're a bit upset that they had to wait so long. I would apologize to them. But then from that moment on, they were my everything. And I told Retief this, you know, Tiens, who was a previous pastor here, he had managed. You know, the day when he went, I felt bad afterwards, but I said one thing about him, he's never on time. And then later, I realized why I was never on time. Because when Tiens is busy with you, the world stops. He doesn't look at his watch. I've only said 10 minutes apart for you. You now get my full undivided attention as long as you need it. And you know, he did, I took a part two and a getra because he was often late, you know, for appointments and things. But I just want to come up for him today. I want to make up. Correct myself and say Tiens is not a habitual latecomer. When Tiens is late, it's because he's given everything to his previous appointment. Yeah. And this one I think is the most important of all, to cultivate a thankful heart. You know what that means? It means that you actually concentrate on the positive in your life at a given moment and not on what you have and not on what you don't have. That's where the future comes in. If I have this and this and that, then I'll be happy. No, no, no. God says, look around you and start thanking me for what you have. And you know, why did I use the word cultivate? Because we're not naturally people that give thanks. Why do we have to teach our little children, say, dankie man, dankie vir die oom, dankie vir die tannie? It's not in us to say, to give thanks. We have to cultivate it. When Jesus was healing the 10 lepers, how many came back to say thank you? Only one. So, you know what? When you're feeling down, when you become worried, when things overwhelm you, as the billows we sang in that song, just take a moment and say, Lord, thank you that I'm alive. Thank you that I'm still here. Thank you that I can, and I don't have to tell you what you have to thank God for. The Spirit of God will tell you. Yes, we read in Psalm 100, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Ach, this is just two examples. There's hundreds in the Psalms. Psalm 92, it is good to give thanks to the Lord. It's a good thing. And you know, by thanksgiving, you actually enter the presence of God. Because that is one of the ways you actually invite the presence of God into your life, with thanksgiving. Right, the next one. We must learn that God's grace is not for tomorrow. Retief, is this biblical? God is in tomorrow, but his grace is for now, for today and for this moment. I needed a lot of grace to stand here in front of you this morning. But you know what? One of my favorite scriptures, 2 Corinthians 12 verse 9 says, Paul says, and he, capital letter, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now I'm going to give you an example again. Of yesterday morning I cycled with a friend. Now he's actually a cycling friend of Philip. So you can imagine how strong he is. But Philip wasn't there, so I was second best, you know. So he said, will you cycle to me? And I said, "Just, I don't think I can really, you know. Okay, no, we'll do it. We had the wind behind us to Melkbosch, and it all went well to Melkbosch. But I was really trusting God for strength. When I got there, a voice inside me said, you know what? You're not going to get back home because you're tired now already. It's still the whole half of the way back, and the wind is from the front. What do you do in situations like that? You tap more grace. Thank you, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. Not when the wind is behind me, or when I'm still strong. Your grace is sufficient for me, for this moment, for this situation I am in. Right, the next. And then, what about tomorrow? I said we mustn't dwell there, we mustn't go on future tripping, but we must learn to trust God for tomorrow. You know, this is one of my I'm going to read this because it's not only beautiful, the Lord has given this so many times to me in my life. Isaiah 43, verse 2 and 3. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now I'm going to tell you, to finish off a short story again. I was doing a lot of windsurfing when I was younger, at Langebaan. And one day I went with a friend to the opposite, to Porsberg. And that day, the direction of the wind changed, and I just couldn't get back. I struggled the best part of that day to get back, and they watched me through binoculars, and eventually they got a boat to come and rescue me and pick me up. I was actually planning to go and sleep that night under a bush on the opposite side. Now, what I'm going to tell you now, you must not connect with me because that's not me, but I got home, was very tired, went to bed, thanked the Lord that I'm safe in a bed, not under a bush. Then reached with my hand under the bed for my Bible and opened it up. You know what verse I got? When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Can you believe that? And you know how many times since the Lord has given people prophetically to give me that word. And every time they do it, they say, you have no idea how spot on you are. You have absolutely no idea, because that is my verse. That's my scripture. Right, the next one. This is now the last thing. You know, a lot of what I said this morning was about ourselves, about our own joy and our own peace and things. But in the end, it's about God's kingdom. And I love this verse in Psalm 96, verse 2. Sing out His praises, bless His name. Each day, tell someone that He saves. If you are not present, you won't tell anybody that God saves. You know, last week, Chris gave an amazing offering message here of a guy that actually asked for money or whatever. And he is the guy, you can just say, oh, it's just one of many. Roll up your window and take off. Or just say no, or give him a little thing. This guy got out of his car, noticed this guy, went to buy him something to eat, came back, gave it to him, and then they led that guy to the Lord. Do you think that would have happened if that guy wasn't present? No, never, never. So in the end, being present is actually allowing the kingdom of God to come around you and to see and hear people. And I love what Jesus said in Mark 8. He spoke to the disciples and he said, having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Do you not remember? So what do you need eyes and ears for? Not you need it now. What I'm seeing here, you people in front of me, what I'm hearing, is what God is telling me to say. So being present is actually just being present, you know, using your eyes and your ears at that specific moment where God has put you into. Oh, and then I just want to end off with this, where I started off with this in that verse from Psalm 118, verse 24. God's desire for us is to have joy. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. That is Psalm 90. And then Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. But now you're going to ask me, what about those days when I've got all the trouble that Jesus spoke of? You know what Jesus said? Rejoice greatly when the people say bad things behind your back. Rejoice when you are in big trials and tribulations. So we don't have a choice to rejoice. Rejoice is not only being happy and joyful when the sun is shining and everything is right. Rejoicing is a state of heart with God. And that is what I wanted to say this morning. Amen. Can I pray for us? Can we all stand perhaps? Yes, Lord, we just want to thank you this morning, Father, that this word is on your heart. Lord, I know it is on your heart, and because you confirmed it this morning through other brothers and sisters, Lord, and we know that your desire for us is to have joy and to live life fully, not to be robbed. Lord, you want us to have abundant life. You don't want us to live in the past like some elderly people especially do, or in the future. Lord, you want us to enjoy the moment, to be here today. And Lord, we just ask that your Spirit will just enable us and help us, even in this week to come, where we will have our trials and tribulations, where we will have problems, where people may say bad things about us, Lord. That in all those situations, we will just start counting our blessings and start thanking you for the gift of life, the gift of today, the gift of the present, and really, Lord, live in communion with you. Lord, thank you that we can just trust your Spirit that you'll do that in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen.